Please join me in your Bibles, if you would, as we pick it back up where we left it off Sunday night, Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 and verse 11. Romans chapter 4, verse 11. As we're looking here at our duties in relationship to, or primarily toward, the family of God. The family of God, or the household of faith. And of course, once again, as a reminder, all of these are actually built off of the very first behavior in this study of the 25 behaviors of chapter 12 here that we looked at up in verse 9 when we dealt with those personal duties there in verse 9, if you look, of the continual exercise of agape love without hypocrisy. So a real, genuine, sincere love. It's something that was reiterated further. As you remember, we went on in verse 10 there to look at family duties to the household of faith, namely being kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. And there you have the word philostergo as well as philadelphos, adding to our word agape and giving to us the very foundation of really all of these behaviors. So, love, from every consideration, is the ground. It is the base of all of these behaviors, including this one that we are looking at and that we started looking at this past Lord's Day night, verse 11 there. And the very first one in this next dynamic triplet, which many of these behaviors happen to fall into, you remember. And what is it? Well, look at it, the beginning of verse 11. In the King James Version, it says here, where we, the true spirit-filled, spirit-led believers in Jesus Christ, true Christians, are not to be slothful in business. Or as the NASB puts it, not lagging behind in diligence. And we have here two adjectives, you remember. The first one is okaneros, for slothfulness, which actually means, in terms of a quality or character, to feel loath or to be slow. Or as the word in its verbal form suggests, to delay or to hesitate or to be lazy. Or, and I like this one, lagging behind. And that's the NASB translation, which is exactly how it puts it. And of course, with the negation before it, may, it has to do with not being this. Not being this. Not lagging behind. Not being lazy. Not being loath. Not being slow. In what? Well, that brings us to the second adjective that's given here in answer to that. In business. In business, at least in the King James Version, it's coming from the Greek word spode. And you remember, that's the word that means it's something that's given as a dative of respect, so that it means in respect to our diligence, in respect to our diligence, or in respect to hastiness or speed, to which we might ask further, our diligence or our speed or our hastiness in what? Or to what? Well, in the work of the Lord. Yeah, the Lord our God, to Him as our Master in the matter of our living and our working and our serving Him all the days and all the moments of our redeemed lives. It's something that we went over last time to see how the Lord has much to say about this. Even reaching back to the Old Testament, which we're going to really get into tonight. Yes, we are not to be ever lagging behind in respect to our diligence in the work and in the service of Jesus Christ. Always serving Him, a submissive slave to Him, a willing, faithful servant of Him who does it all continuously out of love for His Lord and Savior, while putting, you'll remember, 1 Corinthians 6:12 and 10:32, those things that aren't convenient, even though they may be lawful, even though they may be permissible, but putting those things behind us or aside and pressing on for Him with this God-given divine resource within that's leading the way of diligence or zealousness. And we sort of ended our time thinking about Sunday night with this. This is not only something God divinely puts in us that we may do and we may carry out for Him as we submit to the Holy Spirit and in conjunction with His holy word of truth, but this is something when we fulfill it through the Spirit that He rewards us for. Do you remember Colossians? Colossians, if you just go there for a moment, Colossians chapter 3. In verse 23 and 24, he says this, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall," here it is, "receive the reward of the inheritance." And then he says this, "For you are a slave, a bond slave to the Lord Christ." That's who you serve. We as well, we ended our time looking at our Lord's kingdom parable. Just briefly, Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30, as, yes, God not only enables us to carry this quality and this behavior out toward primarily the family of God, but He, after enabling us, He gloriously rewards us for it. And it becomes a big part of His glorious inheritance to the saints and how we do that. Now, that brings us back to looking further at what the Lord has to say about this to us, as it's quite important. It's seen many places, and we have seen it already, and we're going to see more to come. And even with all of these, we are simply just touching the surface, may I just say. Now, with that said, turn with me, if you will, over to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 10 through 12 is what I want to look at just for a moment. It's another passage that actually speaks to us of how the Lord rewards those of His who diligently serve Him. I love so much, just to emphasize once again, how the Lord gives us the resource, He gives us the ability, the capability to do something, and then He rewards us for it. Isn't that neat? Well, here it is again. Look at chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. It says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." And then he says this in verse 11. He says, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." You remember who they were. In Hebrews 11, you see a whole list of Old Testament ones that are listed there, that even unto death were diligent for the Lord. So the question here is, do we live with the same sort of diligence, the same sort of enthusiastic zeal and care, earnestness to the very end, as those who through faith and endurance inherited the promises of God, such as Abraham, such as Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Joseph, Deborah, Rahab, just throw a few women in there. There is reward for those who labor, who minister in the Lord's work and to the Lord's people in such a way, with diligence. So the Lord rewards those who walk in diligence, does he not? Not allowing slothfulness to creep in. Do you know what, when slothfulness and laziness and unwillingness, when it creeps in, even in the smallest degree, into our living, it not only prevents good from being done, but it allows evil to prosper. Let me repeat that. It not only prevents good from being done, but it allows evil to prosper. We learn this, actually. Turn with me, if you would, over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. We see it indicated to us. Where Paul is actually talking about a spirit-filled Christian here, walking in the Spirit, or he's about to hear. As in verse 18, he says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." But jump up to verse 15, and let's just read this as we think about that statement that I just made about not only preventing good from being done, but allowing evil to prosper when we don't practice this diligence, but when we're rather slothful or lazy. But he says, verse 15, he says, "See then that you walk," and there's a big word, "circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." And then verse 16, "redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Now, that big word, "circumspectly," is actually a different Greek word than the one in Romans 12:11 for business or for diligence. However, let me just say this. It's a synonym of the word spode. And so it means diligence or accurateness or exactness. Paul says we are to walk. We are, in other words, to conduct our total lives, our behavior, our character, and such with exactness and in diligence. Not as fools, he says, or unwise, but notice what he says, as wise, buying up every opportunity. That's what it means there by the phrase redeeming the time. Why? Here it is. Because the days are evil. Loved ones, if you don't exercise a circumspect walk, an exact walk, a walk of diligence, as a wise man in the Lord should, taking every opportunity of each moment to do it for the Lord, then guess what? Evil is going to overtake you. It's going to squash you eventually. Because, yes, these days are evil. And the way to prevent evil in our lives is by living diligently unto the Lord. Right now. Proverbs 18:9. Says this, "He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is the great waster," or a great waster. In other words, a person who does their work poorly, or who does their work carelessly or slowly in terms of sluggishness, not diligently, in other words, as we have been talking about, but God says they are brother or similar or akin, if you will, to one who destroys, who lays to waste. In other words, a poor, unfinished job differs little from a project that someone demolished. Both projects are empty, valueless. In fact, sometimes I can think of times where a job was done carelessly by the crew. When I used to work with my dad in construction years ago as he was a general contractor, and because it was done so poorly, because it was done so carelessly and lazily and slothfully, it all needed to be taken down. It all needed to be redone. Beloved, back to the original statement here, slothfulness prevents good from being done, and it allows evil to prosper. For weeds to prosper in a garden, what do you need to do? What do you need to do? Anybody? Nothing. Nothing, right? Absolutely nothing. Just leave your garden alone and you'll have a mess on your hands, especially at this time of year. I mean, slothfulness in our Christian living not only prevents good, but it promotes evil and it allows it to prosper. We actually find many times in Scripture where God either warns us about being slothful or exhorts us to be diligent. Many a times, both of these thoughts appear in one verse as they are really opposites of each other. That's why they appear here as opposites, two adjectives in the same characteristic. Let me just give you some Old Testament verses as we look to bring all of this to a wrap up here. Where one or the other words are used actually in the text, and just allow God to speak to us here through his word on really applying diligence here, this sixth behavior from Romans 12:11 to our lives. Diligently applying diligence. Okay. Let me just start out. Proverbs is where we want to be, and that's where we're going to be. Proverbs chapter 4. Book of Proverbs is fabulous. It's really a book of wisdom, literature that God has given to us through wise old Solomon. But look at first Proverbs 4, verse 23. What does it say? It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Here the Lord exhorts his own toward diligence in relation to our heart, our inner man, guarding our minds, guarding our hearts, because out of the heart flows the issues of life. And I think of Jeremiah's words, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately what? It's desperately wicked. Even a redeemed heart. There's wickedness that comes out. We need to be diligent in guarding it. Guarding it so that evil doesn't come to the surface. And when it does, taking care of it right away with the Lord. Secondly, I want you to flip over to Proverbs chapter 12, Proverbs 12, verse 27, where we find both a warning against slothfulness and we find the exhortation toward diligence in one verse. Look at verse 27, Proverbs chapter 12. It says, the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of the diligent man is precious. I'm not sure, but the first part of the verse, if it means that the lazy loafer doesn't hunt, so he doesn't have anything to roast, or if it means that he does not roast what he has taken in hunting. Could mean either or. However, it is, in this case, he either lacked the gumption to get started to begin with, or he lacked the drive to finish what he began. And we see laziness all over this verse. Slowness in the first half. The thing God warns us against. The thing God hates. But in the second half of the verse, God essentially tells us that the man who is diligent values what he works for and he uses it to the best advantage. And this, you see, in the very next verse, it's implied is the path of righteousness. Not saying that this is how we obtain righteousness, but not being slothful but diligent, by not being slothful or diligent, but this is the path of God's right in this just way of living. which leads to the ways of life and not to the ways of death. Look at the very next verse. It says, in the way of the righteous is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. Go over with me, if you will, as we continue to see this, Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15 and verse 19. It says, the way of the slothful man is as an hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. The way of the lazy, slow man is beset with all sorts of difficulties. That's what it's saying. That's what is meant here. And perhaps he even tries to go on to use this as an excuse to continue doing nothing. However, the way of the upright man, and I take it as an upright man, he is also a diligent man, but his way is smooth. It's like a well-paved highway. And that's not saying if difficulties come into your life, may I just put this qualifier on, that you must be a slothful Christian. But in the end, a man who is walking God's right path with diligence, not slothfulness, he will have a clear, well-set path before him that he might travel it. Isn't that great? We've already looked at Proverbs 18, verse 9. Look again what he says there. Just read it a moment ago. 18:9 says, he also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. So he is a family member. The one that's slothful is basically a family member to destruction. Look with me at 19:15. Says, slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. Solomon is saying to his son, hey son, laziness is like a drug that casts one into a deep sleep. And such an idle person will court poverty and suffer hunger. I think the application is, as we look around us, perhaps we could go down to the streets in Rochester, the center of town, or elsewhere, and it shows us that this is true. Proverbs 19, verse 24, look at 19:24. Says, a slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom, and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. The word bosom here is actually better translated dish or bowl. So that God is telling us about a lazy man who buries his hand in the bowl, and he will not so much as bring it to his mouth again because he is so very lazy. Ugh. You know, in other words, he reaches into the bowl of, let's say, potato chips, but he's too lazy to lift them to his mouth because they're too heavy. It's too much effort. And of course, in the context, the Lord is condemning such a man as this. And this was a warning for Solomon to his son on what he was not to be like. Don't ever let slothfulness overtake you. That's how you're going to be. Proverbs 21. Look at Proverbs 21, verses 25 and 26. Hopefully it made this easy for us so that we can follow along here. It says, the desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. Solomon is saying to his son, and he's saying to us, that the lazy man is torn apart between his craving for riches on the one hand and his determination not to exert himself on the other hand. He's in a bad way and at an impossible dead end in his turmoil because of his laziness. And while he spends his time in a dream world or unfulfilled hopes, the righteous man, the diligent righteous man, he works hard, he earns money so that he can give unsparingly to worthy causes. So that's what's being said there. Look at 22:13. Right on the same page in my Bible, it says, "The slothful man saith, there is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets." You say, what in the world's going on there? I believe Solomon is conveying here to his son how a slothful, lazy person who can't find an excuse for not going to work, he makes one up no matter how ridiculous it is. And here he says, by way of excuse, there's a lion in the streets of the city. I mean, what would a lion be doing in the city? It's probably nothing more than a putty cat, right? If that. Oh, the sad way of a slothful man. Look at Proverbs 24 and verse 30. Actually, 30 through 34. It says, "I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw, and I considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep and a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall the poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man." I think that's pretty self-explanatory. Look at chapter 26, verses 13 through 15. 26, 13 through 15. It says, "A slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way, a lion is in the streets. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth." So what a picture God presents us with the awfulness of this character trait of slothfulness that we are not to in any way allow as a believer to creep into the realm of diligent activity for Jesus Christ, for the things of God, for godly living. Another is found in Ecclesiastes 11, verse 18. Go with me to Ecclesiastes, not a text we often go to. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 18. "But much slothfulness, the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands, the house droppeth through." We've seen, especially as we have traveled throughout the years, we've gone up to Maine. We go up there. We try to every summer. We've seen what's called shakays. Have you ever seen a shakay before? All right. Where whoever lives in this little on-the-ground sort of tree fort certainly hasn't bothered with ever taking care of it. And it's really sad. It looks like a place that should be condemned, or like a children's playhouse. Hey, loved ones, God loves, he finds disgust with such a believer and children of his that act that way. I think you've probably gotten the impression already, as we dare not as his children allow slothfulness to creep into this area of being diligent and zealous for our Savior and living righteously for our God. Because if we do, it's only ugliness and poverty and destruction and decay and difficulties and a whole host of other like things. And not only that, but most of all, God despises our holy God, the one we love, despises it in the lives of his own. And he desires continual diligence, striving with earnestness after his will, after his way, his desires for his glory. Isn't that why we live? For the glory of the Lord? I hope it is. I believe his disgust over slothfulness in respect to diligence taking root in our lives could be equated with how Christ reacted to the lukewarmness of the apostate church of Laodicea. Do you remember that in Revelation 3, as we have been looking at Revelation and doing the final snapshot, even as we have seen there in chapter 3 at the end of the chapter? Oh yes, they seem to have diligence in everything else, right? Other than the areas that counted for Jesus Christ and for the Lord's work. As in the Lord's work and in Christian living, they were most slothful. And Jesus says, in the end, be zealous. Repent. Turn. Change your hearts and minds. Turn to me. The call, in effect, is that they repent, they become diligent. As zelu there, zealous, is a like word to our word diligence that we're looking at right now in business, as it says. Now, you remember what the Lord stated or started out saying about their behavior. He says, you're neither hot nor you're cold, but you're what? You're lukewarm. Blah, I'll spew you out of my mouth. I hate lukewarm. They were disgusting to the Lord as those who didn't live diligently unto him. Actually, they weren't even the Lord's. They had turned away. They were apostate. They were slothful with a number of other things going on and had taken over and they had a uselessness that overtook their lives. May it not be so with us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for what you have taught us through this time. We've looked at, beginning Sunday night, with this matter of slothfulness and diligence, two opposite characteristics, and we complete it tonight, Lord, seeing how very much you speak of it throughout your word. It's abundant. Lord, help us not to be lagging behind in any part of our Christian character and our diligence for the cause of Jesus Christ until he comes again for us. And we pray these things in Jesus' blessed and wonderful name.